I need a phone booth to be like Batman, I guess. Or no, Superman. I don't know my characters that well. All right. We're on. We're hot. I'm hot. You guys hot? Whew, yeah. That was just me. Maybe it's just a... I don't know. All right. Well, I'm coming up to you since you won't come up to me. Tim asked me if I wanted to, you know, to be able to walk around like Shelly does, and I might end up doing it. I don't know. Whew. Hi. There we go. Brokenness. Coming to your end so God can begin. Did anybody hear that and was like, what is she going to be talking about? Did that get you intrigued at all? Any of you feel broken already? Maybe? I don't know. Well, let's see. Yeah, so I got some nods like, yeah, you hit the nail on the hammer there. Well, when I looked at Psalms 51:17, this verse struck me because this is what God requires of us. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. So this is something that God wants of us. He wants us to be broken. I mean, he himself was broken, right? Broken and spilled out. That song kind of came to my mind as I was thinking about sharing. But he wants our lives to be broken. So before I go any further, just so you know, this is a practice. This is something we should be doing in our Christian walk. It's the art of being broken. But let's make sure you understand what it is, because as a good teacher I am, I have to make sure I'm defining what I'm talking about, so you don't just stare at me like, she talked about brokenness but never defined it. All right? So it's a process. Ooh. I mean, I can't just be done with this quickly. You know, it's not like a fix-all, catch-all, she's not going to be top 10, and then I can walk away and be all good. Nope, sorry. It's a process by which God... take the pressure off myself. God's going to do it. He's going to take our way, our self-reliance. Uh-oh. That's a little up close and personal. You mean he's going to take away those things that I like to do for myself? You know, my independent spirit. And just so you all know, I'm preaching to the choir because I am the most independent woman. And, I mean, you guys know, I've traveled to foreign countries. I've thrived in third world countries. And so, this is something that's really hard for me because I've become very self-reliant. Very self-reliant. So God is stripping us away of our self-reliance. Uh-oh. That's tough. But in the process, he's teaching us to rely on him and only on him in every area of our lives. Not just some areas. That's why I put that in capital letters. Every area. All right, so is anybody... don't need that in their lives. You're okay. You could just leave right now, right? God has total control over everything in your life. You totally let him be in the driver's side, and he's on the driver's side all the time in your life, right? Because if I was to be honest with you guys, I cannot say that that's true. Okay? So this is something that God has been speaking to my life, especially since I've been back here in the States, and I've listened to... actually, a lot of the notes I'm going to get are from a sermon series that I listened to about 2 times since I've been back. Because I feel like this is something God's trying to get into my heart. And meanwhile, he's saying, okay, I don't want this just to be in your heart, but I want you, every chance you have, to share it with other people. All right? So I'm standing before you as somebody who is in the process of being broken? Process of being broken. Yeah, that's right. And like I said, it's a process. Okay? This isn't a fix-all. So, if you're ready for the ride, buckle your seatbelts. Because I want to talk about what brokenness is, but also the great benefits of it. Because God does want us. Those things that we were singing about, you know, that he will take us and he will mold us and use us and change us. He wants to do those things, but we just have to be willing to do those things. And most of us are willing. We just need that little nudge, or some of us a push, like me. All right. So you're going to be more usable after you're broken. And I was thinking about this illustration of an egg. I don't eat hard-boiled eggs, but even if you hard-boiled an egg and you wanted to eat the egg inside, what do you have to do first? You have to crack open the shell first, right? So there's no possible way to eat the inside of that egg or to get the nutritional value of inside of that egg without cracking the shell open. Guess what? You are that egg, okay? Your heart is that egg. And God needs to break open that so that you can be really, really, really used of God. Now, I'm not negating anything that you're doing right now for God because you're doing amazing things through God, or God's doing amazing things through you, sorry. But God wants to do more. And once we realize that, like, wow, you know, I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. He wants to do more with me than he's already done. That's pretty amazing. I don't know. Maybe I just get blown away by this stuff. And yeah. You know, Paul talked about in Philippians 3:10 that he said he wants to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death. So when we really want to know that, we have to go through things. Because it says that we have to go, we have to become like him in death. So we're going to have to die to some things in our lives. That doesn't sound like too much fun, does it? I'm sorry. This is pretty not that happy. It will get better, though, I promise. All right. Okay? So if you want to have that power, and God wants to give us that power, okay? The Holy Spirit is living inside you if you have accepted Christ, and he wants you to live in the fullness of that power, but sometimes we haven't even begun to tap the resources. I don't know. Think about it. It also talks about in John 6:63 that the Spirit gives life, not death, life. You know, and Christ said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. So if we want to have this life, we're going to have more and more of the Spirit. We're going to have to tap more into the power of God in our lives. I always say it's like, you know, if I buy a sports car, which I would never be able to afford unless someone wants to bless me with that. You know, hint, hint. No, I'm joking. I don't need a sports car in Addis, just a Land Cruiser. But it's like if I would have this amazing car that somebody gave to me, and then I would just stare out the window and look at it and be like my car, isn't it nice? Yeah, it goes 0 to 120 in like 30 seconds or less. Actually, that's bad, right? You know? But it's like you look at it, you might even get in, like sit down and see, ooh, so comfy, right? Great car. But you never put the key in the ignition and you never turn it on. So you're never enjoying the power of that car, the amazement of that car. Well, it's the same in our lives. If we never really spark on the effusion of the Holy Spirit, we're just sitting in a nice, cushiony Christian life. Which, yeah, we're going to get to heaven when we die. So we got our pass-free ticket, which is amazing. But wouldn't you rather live in a power-filled life? Wouldn't you rather be able to do amazing things for God and let God do amazing things through you? And then you step back, you're like, whoa, what was that? So if we want to have more life, we have to have more of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. All right. I want you to remember this as I'm talking about the not funness of brokenness, okay? You have to remember what I'm about to tell you right now. Otherwise, you're just going to be like, that was the most depressing talk I ever heard. My goodness, I'm never going to want to go to church when Rachel's speaking again. And yeah, she just made it out to be like this terrible thing, okay? Remember this. The process of brokenness is worth the product. Say it one more time, because repetition is good for us. The process of brokenness is worth the product. So all the stuff you have to go through, in the long run, when you finally get it, it's going to be worth it. Okay? You guys remember what it was like to be a kid at Christmas time? You know, the anticipation. My goodness, how many days until Christmas? You know? Wasn't it worth it on Christmas morning when you woke up and you actually got to open those presents that you never opened up before? Right? The process of waiting, the process of brokenness is going to be worth the product. What you're going to get in the end is going to be worth the process of getting it. Now, that's never easy, right? We just like to skip the process and get the product. Right? I know I would rather, you know? But we have to remember this, because if we don't remember this, then we're going to feel like I'm never going to get past my brokenness. I'm never going to get through this broken stage. All right? The process is... Go ahead. The process is... What's worth the product? The process. Oh, you are listening. Good. All right. So here's our happy news. How's this going to happen? How will you be broken? How's God going to bring brokenness in your life? You're going to have trials, failures, setbacks, tragedies, struggles, sickness, and disappointments. Yay! That's so exciting. Why aren't you guys happy about that? You don't want that? What I did to tell you, you have to remember. Go ahead. The process is worth the product. So you're going to have all these things, these bad things that are going to happen to us. But you know what Jesus said? In this world you have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have come to overcome the world. Okay, so we have to remember the temporariness of our problems. But in that, we're going to have a bedrock experience. Yabba-dabba-doo. I got your attention. It's my corny something humor. So what's a bedrock experience? All right. This is when it is an earth-shattering experience where God forever alters our view of himself, others, our ministry. Basically, he's going to strip you of everything but him. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? To me, this is sort of like when I go to the eye doctor and I know that my prescription is off and I'm seeing things, I'm just not seeing them clearly. And then when you put your new glasses on, what is it like? Like you see something for the first time in your life. And when you have these bedrock experiences, it is basically going to like rid you of everything. And what you once thought you saw and you visioned God as, and you visioned other people, because other people are just sinful people like you and I, right? And when you see your ministry, God's going to take all that. He's going to change the way you look at it. He's going to change it. So that's why it's like, you know, changing my vision. I'll be able to see things differently, see them clearer. But how's he going to do that? Remember, he's going to bring all these bad things, trials and tribulations and setbacks and sicknesses and disappointments. But it's through those that we can actually have this life-altering, changing thing in our life. Because without those, won't we just be cruising along normal, right? We're thinking everything's fine. We're thinking, well, that's the way God is. That's the way people are. That's the way that, you know, I should be doing my ministry. And I just want to clarify for you guys that you have just as much a ministry as I do. Just as much ministry as Pastor Bob or Shelley or anyone else that's a leader in this church. You have ministries. Your ministries look different than ours, maybe, but you have ministries because you have families and you have friends and you have coworkers. You have neighbors because no one here lives on an island, right? No islands in North Huntington that I know of. So we all have ministries, and God will help us to clarify what that ministry is supposed to look like. But isn't it fun just to kind of sit in cruise control and go through life and just feel comfortable doing what you're doing? Isn't that easier? Sometimes I think it is. But if you want to really, really experience God and have that power, you're going to have a brokenness. You're going to be stripped of everything so that you realize it's only God and you. Just God and you. You with me so far? There is happiness. There's happiness coming, okay? Just stick with me. When you're going through this bedrock experience, it's usually he's going to take something that you're the strongest in. He's going to break that. Because remember, usually when we're strong in something, usually we think, well, I can handle this. I can do this. It's okay. I have it. What word, what pronoun did I use there like 3 times now? I, right? So God has to rid us of these things so that we start realizing it's not us that can do it. It's actually God that's going to do it. Now for me, I really feel like this was when God pulled me out of my comfort zone of living overseas. And he said, I want you to come back to the United States. I was like, what? It's not time yet, God. I'm not supposed to come back yet. But God's like, no, I want you to come back here right now. Because I was getting too comfortable in my comfort zone of Ethiopia. I was getting comfortable in a third world country. And I had to feel uncomfortable here in the United States. Because honestly, it's very uncomfortable here. It's not normal for me. I'm not in my normal routine and everything. So my life has been completely turned around, turned upside down. But through that, I know that God is saying, I want you, Rachel, to step back. I want you to look at me and focus on me so that I can prepare you for what you have next, what he has next for me. Did I kick and scream? Yeah, I did. I was like a little 2-year-old with a tantrum. I did not want to be back here, and I did not think that it was going to be fun. And there's times when I'm like, it's not fun. But am I thankful for it? Yes. Because what's worth the product? The process. So I'm in this process too, guys. It's not like I'm just standing up here talking about it. Like I've already gone through it and I'm all good. Because if I would have gone through it, I'd be in heaven right now, honestly. Because I'd be done with the process, right? All right. God doesn't want to change us. He wants to sanctify us. So he doesn't want to just temporarily make things different in our lives. But he really just wants us to become more and more and more like him. And I've thought a lot about what that means for me and who I am and what he's called me to do. And it's not that he's just changing my ministry in Ethiopia, but he's actually changing who I am in him. Because I begin to learn more and more of who he is. And what he means to me. And the simple truth that he loves me. And I thought I understood that a long time ago. When I was a kid. And then a teenager. But I'm beginning to learn that more and more. That it's not just the change that he wants to make in me. But he wants me to be sanctified. To be more like him. Because otherwise, why do we go through all this stuff? Just so we can make it through another week? Or another day? Or, yay, made it through 2014, woohoo! God really wants to just change us all together. He wants to really sanctify us so that when we go through things in life, it's going to be easier. But see, we're humans, and we get in the way of things. Well, okay, I get in the way of things that God's trying to do in my life. I don't know about you guys. I don't know if God's ever asked you to do something, and then you're like, oh, I'm afraid to do that. I can't do that. Has anyone ever said that before? You don't have to raise your hand if you want to. Has anyone ever said, oh, but I don't know how to do that. There's no way I can do that, God. I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't have enough Bible knowledge. I can't do this. I'm too ignorant. I'm too stupid. Or maybe we're just like, nope, God, you're going to have to really take my feet off this solid rock here because I'm not moving. Mm-mm. You're going to have to get more than a mighty wind here. And we get in the way of this process because of our sinful nature And I know I've said to God before, I'm afraid to do these things. I don't know how to do them. And you know what, God? I really don't want to do them because I'd just rather stay where I'm at. But the process is worth the product. So we have to be willing to let go of our fear. Be willing to learn. Be willing to step out of our comfort zone and you know what? Let God have this one and don't try to be super stubborn about it. Because God really does know about what's best. He really does. Ooh. That's where he wants to take us right now. Oh. That's just you guys. Okay. An amazing thing about it, guys, is whenever we're going through something like this, God is going to give us the grace. And he's also going to give us the perfect peace when we need it. Because remember, it's taking reliance off of ourselves. And so that way, God has to give us something, right? If we're giving it to him, we're giving him our self-reliance, and God's going to give us in return grace. And he's going to give us in return peace. And so amidst all the storms of life, you know, we can have that perfect peace. And I that's probably what I pray for more than anything in my life, is that I will just have peace. Because I don't always understand the chaos going on around me, but I know that God knows and I have to trust him. So, we've talked about all the yuckiness of all of it, right? We've talked about how it's not fun and there's going to be all these things and you're going to have this bedrock experience. But what are you going to get out of brokenness? Because I don't want to just like leave now and be like, hi, have a nice life. You know, go be broken before God. Even though that's what God asks us. What are we going to get out of it? New intimacy with our relationship with God. I mean, you thought you knew God before. You thought you loved God before. You thought you understood God's love before. You thought you were intimate with him. He wants to have a new intimacy with you. Deeper than you won't be more intimate with anybody here on this earth. And I think that's possible. I mean, I'm still working on that. But he really wants to, like, know us. And we know him. And we have that relationship when we're growing in that relationship. And that intimacy is going to become so sweet that whenever the world is crumbling around us, we're just going to see God. And we're going to see what God is doing in this world amidst all the turmoil. And God is going to be present with us too. That's what's really cool about it. Because it said that he's near to the brokenhearted. He just doesn't watch us from afar and say, have fun in your turmoil. He's right there with us. And I know I rest on that because I don't know how I would get through what I get through in life without God being my ever-present help in trouble. So we're going to have new intimacy with him. Anybody want that? Anyone feel like they could get a little closer to God? Or you feel like, yeah, that's okay. I'm as close as I want him to be. All right, we're going to have a new focus in our ministry. Remember how I said you're going to get new glasses? You're going to be able to see clearer. You're going to be able to see what God really wants you to do. And through that, guys, actually, God might show you that you might have been doing too much. And I know God has done that in my life before. I would say, yes, 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 yes. And then I'd be like, what am I doing besides being busy? But if we are really, really broken, God's going to help us to focus in on what ministry or ministries he wants us to do. And he's going to equip us and train us and get us ready for those ministries. And, I mean, honestly, during this time in the States, because I know what my ministry is whenever God calls me back to Ethiopia, like, I feel like I have a focus. I'm learning about homeschooling as much as possible. For those of you who don't know, I'm switching out of the classroom to being a homeschool supporter and traveling around Ethiopia and supporting my colleagues who are homeschooling in rural areas. Okay? That's completely different than being a classroom teacher. But because I know that's the ministry God's called me to, my focus is different. I've gone to homeschool conferences. I've talked with homeschool families. I've gotten connected with homeschool schools. And I've had people just step alongside me and say, hey, let me help you understand homeschooling, since I was never homeschooled and I don't know what that's all about. But I have a new focus. And because I have a new focus, I can like say, is this really going to help me in my ministry? Is there just fluff? Because I think sometimes we do a lot of fluff as Christians. Not saying that fluff is not important, but we get so busy doing the fluff, we kind of forget, what are we supposed to be doing? And I'm just as guilty as that. Actually, right before I left Ethiopia my last semester, I had this stuffed elephant on my desk. Okay? And I actually think I put in one of my prayer letters. You might be like, why would I have a stuffed elephant on my desk? And it's not because my mom loves elephants, but that's probably a good reason too. But I don't know if you ever heard the expression, you can't eat an elephant all at one time. You have to eat it bite by bite. Right? So I have this elephant up there in front of me because it reminded me to take it step by step, or paso a paso in Spanish, cuspa cuspa in Amharic, and just do the next thing, because that helps you to really be focused. So anybody here need a new focus in their ministry? Anybody feel like God might have been saying, hey, don't be so busy doing all this stuff, I want you to do this? Somebody told me, your no's make your yeses stronger. I wrote that on top of my calendar every month. My no's make my yeses stronger. Because I felt like I was saying yes to everything, and then I was not able to do anything well because I was overextended. And I know it's so easy to do that, right? But if we are broken before God, we will be more focused in what He's calling us to do. And then we will be able to say, you know what? No, I'm not going to do that because God called me to do this, and I want to do this well. So, we're going to be more intimate with God. We're going to have a new focus in our ministry. And you know those other human beings that we live with on this planet Earth? They're sometimes hard to get along with, right? Well, remember how I said whenever you have brokenness, you're going to see people differently. Could you imagine seeing like your enemy differently? Could you imagine seeing that person that annoys you differently? But you'll have a meek or a gentle spirit towards people. Because, see, no longer it's going to be me relying on my own strength to get through the day when this person annoys me all the time. But you'll see them as God sees them, as they just need Jesus too. And maybe I need to smile at them. Maybe I just need to say, hey, Jesus loves you. You know? It makes a difference, right? Like I'm smiling at you and you guys are smiling back at me and it's happy. So we'll be able to see people differently. We'll actually be able to show more gentleness towards them because we'll start to see them through God's eyes instead of seeing them through our marred earthly vision. Because the reality is everyone's a sinner and everyone needs a Savior. And those of us that have a Savior, we still need to be reminded that we are sinners. Somebody write that down. That's actually pretty good. But we all need people to be gentle with us, and we need to be gentle with them. Because if we're becoming more and more like God and we're being more intimate with Him, then that's going to flow out in our relationships with the people all around us. Huh, this brokenness thing is starting to sound pretty good, right? Oh, let's see what else we're going to get. New power and effectiveness in our ministry. And we talked about how you're going to have a new vision for your ministry, right? So that means you're going to know exactly what God called you to do. And you're going to be able to stay focused on that. But if you have a new power and a new effectiveness in your ministry, whew, that car is cruising down the road now. So it's not just like, I know what God wants me to do, but now I have the power to do it, and I'm going to be effective in what I'm doing. Because God's going to refocus me, and He's going to direct me, and I'm spending time with Him. I'm loving Him more. I'm loving other people more. I know what God wants me to do, and now I can go with power. Now, that doesn't mean to say we're never going to have bad days, guys. I'm not making this sound like it's rose-petaled life. I'm just saying, like, these are the byproducts of allowing God to break us. We're still going to have road bumps along the way. Because brokenness is a process, right? And you know how it is when you're driving here in Pennsylvania, driving nice road, and then all of a sudden, pothole, right? Because that's how life is. It's not just like cruise sailing, but we can have potholes. So you're going to be more effective and more powerful in your ministry. I'm excited about that because when I think about what God's been able to do through me already, and to think where God's calling me now, and to think like I get to walk alongside my missionary colleagues and I get to support them as they're educating their children and so that their ministries will be effective. And that's just, it just amazes me to think about that. This should have been probably the first one because this kind of goes with remembering who we are in Christ. That intimacy with Christ is going to be so great that we're going to be reminded that we are His daughters and sons, that we've been adopted, and that we have an inheritance. And sometimes whenever we're just going along road and we're like, does anybody really love me? You know, is there really any difference that I'm making in this world? And for God to come down and say to us, you are mine. You belong to me. That intimacy is just going to keep growing because we're going to realize who we are in Christ. And with Christ, we have the power because we have more of the Holy Spirit in us. You see how it's like a chain of effect? It's pretty cool, isn't it? All right? Does it sound like it's worth it? I think so. The process is worth the product. We just got to hold on. So what do you think God's trying to birth in you? What do you think He's trying to say, I need to break you of this? Because God always has a purpose for what He's doing. He doesn't just bring us things in our lives just to test our faith and see if we're going to falter. But He really does want to grow us through the things that we're going through. It's never fun in the process of doing it. And like I said, I've kicked and screamed a lot as a toddler, an adult toddler. But what is He trying to break you from? Because maximum usefulness is going to come from maximum brokenness. The more and more you're broken before God, the more and more He's going to want to use you. The more and more you will be usable. That's not to say God won't use you without being broken. Because for some reason, well, the reason is He loves us, is that He's willing to say, hey, I love you, I'm going to use you. But imagine the untapped potential if we just let God break us of things. And most of the godly men in our lives, or if you read different missionary stories or different stories of different people of the faith, they had to be broken. They had to be broken of basically everything. They had to have those bedrock experiences. I mean, think of Moses. Think of Abraham. Think of Paul. Think of, I don't know, if you've read anything about D.L. Moody's ministry. Like, basically, he had this great ministry, and then there was the Great Fire of Chicago, and everything burned down. And he had to rebuild. And his ministry after that was, like super effective because he was finally broken. So think about that. Put your name as a great hero of the faith, because you are a great hero of the faith. What is God going to break in your life to make you ready for the next thing? And He really does want this for His children. He really does want us. I mean, here's Charles Spurgeon saying, whatever God means to make a man great, He always breaks him in pieces first. Because it's God who's going to put us back together, piece by piece. So you think you're doing a lot now. Just wait. Just wait. The ride's going to get so much more exciting. And He's going to make a masterpiece out of our messes. I mean, we think, how is God going to ever use our brokenness? how are we ever going to become anything that someone can say, how has God worked in that person's life? But I think, I don't know about you, but every time I hear someone's testimony, it like charges me up. Because it reminds me of how broken we are as people and how much God has taken somebody and out of their mess and out of their shambles, He has taken them and made them whole again. Because that's what brokenness does for us. We find our wholeness. We find our completeness. Otherwise, we're just trying to go around life doing things on our own. Because remember, brokenness is God taking away our self-reliance. And I know I love to hold on to the driver's seat. And God's like, get your hands off that steering wheel. But that's how we find our wholeness and our completeness. So I invite you, there's a song that's going to play, and I was trying to get a live version of this, but I couldn't. But this is actually better because it will be a chance for you to listen to the words, and the words will come up. And, you know, quietly at your seat if you want to, or if you want to come up to the altar, is there something that God wants to break you of? Is there something that He's saying, let go of that? It's this process that He has for you, but it's going to be worth it in the long run. And I want to use, God will say, I want to use you more. I want you to be more focused. I want you to be more effective, more powerful. I want you to be able to love the people around you. Most importantly, God will say, I want to be more intimate with you so that you can know more of who I am. Are we ready up there?
Yeah.
All right. So let this be a prayer of your heart. And if you need to come up and pray, or if you just want to stay in your seat and pray, I invite you to do that.
Make me broken so I can be healed. 'Cause I'm so callous, now I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open. Make me broken. Make me empty so I can be filled. 'Cause I'm still holding onto my
sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, to you I will not despise. God wants to break us. Are we willing to be broken? Because the process is going to be worth the product. We have to have those bedrock experiences. Otherwise, we won't see God, we won't see others, and we won't see our ministry the way that God intended it. So I pray that as you go out this week and as you think about what it is that God called you to do, if there's an area or areas in your life that you really need to just say, God, break me of this. I become too self-reliant in this area. I mean, because I think every single one of us can relate to that. Especially the more and more we walk in the Christian life, it gets easier to kind of say, oh, I'm doing this in my own strength. And God says, nope, you need to go over to the passenger side. Let me just pray for us and then we'll close. God, I just want to praise you and thank you that you love us for who we are, that you accept us, and that you have given us your Son as an atoning sacrifice. And God, I know that we live our lives and we know that and we've accepted that. But God, there's so much more that you want from us. And I pray that you will help us to really just give up those areas of our lives that are keeping us from really growing more intimate with you. Keeping us from really being able to see others as sinful people who need a Savior. Or even being able to see our brothers and sisters as people that need reminded of their sin. And God, we just praise you and thank you because you will give us clarity and you will give us focus and you will give us power and you will make us more effective. But God, just help us to hold on to you during those bedrock experiences and those times that you bring the trials and the tribulations and the suffering and all those fun things that the world will throw our way. Help us to remember that you are our ever-present help in trouble. God, we just thank you and praise you for the opportunity to come before you tonight and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters and pray you'll bless our fellowship afterwards, that you will just help us to be an encouragement to each other and before we go out in this in the world this week as we go to school and as we go to work and as we're interacting with our family and our friends, and that you will just help us to be like, hey, have you ever been broken? And talk about that with the people around us. And we thank you, God, just for who you are. And thank you that in our brokenness, that we can find you more. And that we can reflect your glory more. So, God, help us to just be willing to be cracked open, to be used of you in powerful ways. And we praise you and thank you for all these things. In your name, amen.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel, for a very good word. Good stuff. What we're going to do is we're going to take up an offering now, and the offering is going to be used to bless Rachel to help her return.